Hello and welcome to Awakenings and Come As You Are. Everyone knows that is a bit of Nirvana. It's one of those days. It's one of those transitions. It's one of those times in an astrological configuration. So we're all being called to come as we are. I'm your host, Michelle Mache, and I want to welcome everyone to Awakenings Radio, everyone listening via Cosmic Dimensions Talk, streaming live as well, and welcome to all of you listening in the sacred space of Empowerment Room, the chat room, phone lines, and welcome all listening to the archives and to the iTunes podcast. It's great to connect with all of you, and I also want to say thank you so much for your emails about the program, guest suggestions, topics, and all your wonderful feedback and props and appreciation for the programming that we do here. It's really, really appreciated. If you are new to Awakenings, perhaps you just tuned in or surfed in, Awakenings Radio highlights conscious living for conscious lives. We really focus here as a place for awakening conversations with artists, musicians, poets, mystics, astrologers, metaphysicians, progressive thinkers in their own rights, awakened leaders, authors, conscious beings, and people of all walks of life that are focused, living consciously. Awakenings bridges the points of science, art, creativity, and spirituality. So we're looking at the ethers, the patterns of the cosmos here, and how it is taking different shape and form in all of our lives. So we're really here tracking the patterns of awakening, and it's happening in all sectors, all ways. Awakenings is also part of what we say the converging flow. So from all around the globe and universally, people are coming together into this new emergence, this new paradigm that's emerging, or what's called the emerging consciousness, the new emerging consciousness. So it doesn't matter if you're a secretary, a tailor, a teacher, a student, if you make sandcastles all day, it doesn't matter where you're coming from, it doesn't matter what your supposed title or work focus is. People in all sectors have been in this amazing unfolding, particularly that was heightened at the harmonic convergence in the late 80s, 87. Now, from the harmonic convergence, we are now entered into the converging flow where people represented the tribes, you know, the representation of the tribes. Each tribe, leaders from the tribe come together because they heeded the call, they heard the call, and this is what creates the new world order, the new group of world order servers, the new paradigm that is based on a value beyond what is only external, or value, another way of saying is value beyond dollars, value beyond materialism, so that we are bringing in our spiritual essence, our spiritual awareness, and living more from the soul. So it's really, really a pivotal, pivotal time right now in so many ways. It's and you can see that astrologically, as we'll be diving into with our guests today, that this time is really requiring a lot from everyone. And you can't snooze. And like I played at the top of the hour, the Nirvana song, Come As You Are, that's what's required. You know, it's the low paradigm of self-sacrifice or taking on roles or having hierarchical information, or, you know, there's someone above and someone below. No, that's really being dismantled so that people are being really forced to be who they really are. And that's what's going to bring the most fulfillment, the most abundance. So that's what we're about here, in a little nutshell then. If you are new and you would like to listen as a guest, great. If you're listening by phone, that's perfect. If you're listening by chat and you'd like to interact in the chat or ask questions in the chat, all you need to do is scroll down to the bottom of the dialog box and just register with your name and email address, and then you can interact in the chat room. But feel free to, if you just want to, you know, kind of be on the down low, you don't have to sign in. But sometimes I have people asking, oh, I wanted to ask a question in the chat room, or I wanted to interact in the chat room, or answer somebody's question in the chat room. You do need to do just a quick registration. If you are listening by phone, the number is 347-539-5122. And I'll give that to you again, 347-539-5122. Press 1 on the keypad. That lets me know that you have a question or comment. Also, if you want to reach me or anybody at Awakenings Radio, it's awakeningsradio@gmail.com or awakeningsradio@selfandlight.com, either way. And again, just really appreciate your comments and your feedback, because it is your program. You know, it's part of all of us. You, the listener participants really make Awakenings what it is, and the growth that it continues to have is because of all of you listener participants. So we have, and boy, not too soon, Robert Wilkinson back with us, and with, I'm sure, everyone noticing the even more intense energies or transformative, disruptive and transformative energies pushing you to become as you are, figure out how you are in your life, how you're meant to be. So we're really blessed to have him back on the program. And Robert Wilkinson is a futurist, astrologer, author, and metaphysician. He is the founder and author of the renowned Aquarius Papers, and you can find that at AquariusPapers.com. Welcome to the program, Robert.
Well, hello, Michelle.
I thought we'd just dive right in, because it's one of those months, one of those days, one of those weeks. How are you doing?
Well, pretty good. I was wondering what the telephone connection was this time, because I had to call in rather than the connection. And it sort of is like what's going on right now with the cardinal T-square.
Ah, okay. Do you not normally do that? Do you want me to is it okay?
Well, if you can get me on my hard line, there's less of a chance we're going to get cut off. Remember, I live in the middle of nowhere.
Okay. So let's do that. I didn't have that note to do that. Okay.
Okay. If everybody could just hold on for a second, I promise I'll be back. There's a lot of great information that we really need to cover today. And I'm sure that based on the feedback I've been getting from various readers of my website from all over the world, this is literally one of the most critical moments in our history, in collective history. Mm. We have the power right now to steer things in a different direction, but we have to be really aware and really conscious so that we're not buffeted by the storms of the cardinal T-square.
Mm. Okay. All right, so get your tea, go to the loo, get your smoothie, get your water.
I'm set up. All you got to do is call my hard line, and we will take off.
Okay, I'll call you right back.
Cool.
Okay. Everyone else, just get comfy. Because, well, he'll be right back. Let's see. Here we go here. Landline. I feel like I'm calling the Batmobile. Okay, so we're calling him. Okay, There we go. All right, everyone. So I hope you're comfy. Hello. Okay, Robert, where are you? Okay. Come as you are. Well, it might be that he has to call in back on his cell phone because it's not, the number's not connecting. Anyway, there we go, there we go. Yes, yes, yes. Third try. Why is it always three as a charm? What is that saying about? But it's
hello, world.
Hello. Three to third time's a charm. Grand
yes.
Elf lemonade. Yay, lemonade.
That is the problem of having too much technology that often fails.
That's right. Well, you know, it's a wonderful, you know, when I started doing this show, I really wanted, you know, oh, things got to be perfect. And you know what? It's been a wonderful meditation and just playfulness and go with the flow because something always happens.
Yeah. I found that that's true. Rapid pace of change in our world. We get it 90% right. We're probably doing about as good as we can do. And I think that is one of the giant issues of our very strange mind-dominated Western view of things, and that's that somehow there's always supposed to be 100%, and that if we even mess up one time, that somehow it reflects poorly on us.
Yeah.
When, in fact, I mean, when I used to have classes years ago, I only held my students to 92%. If they got 92%, then as far as I was concerned, they were doing perfect. Because I don't know that there is such a thing as 100% or perfect or whatever, except as an abstract concept and as a goal to shoot for. Okay, and I think that that's partly, I think it has to do with the fact that we're a very extreme, disconnected, abstract society. And that's why, you know, for example, with a lot of people that are addicted to various substances, including their own mental craziness, that it's A or B, and there's nothing in between.
Yeah.
You know, either you are or you aren't. It is or it isn't. And while that's a very useful, shall we say, Aries way to look at things, you know, either you're doing it or you're not doing it, which is, of course, the strength of Aries, yet there's also the other side of the coin of Libra, which is the infinite shades of gray. And that's where I believe we have to be very careful about judging things too extremely or harshly. And, for example, I just ran into that on my blog in the comments section where somebody really started getting down on somebody for having extreme feelings about, call it the suffering of the world, the Weltschmerz, you know, the suffering of all creatures.
Mm-hmm.
And I pointed out, I said, look, you know, just because somebody is an empath doesn't make them imbalanced. It just means that they feel everything more than everybody else. And I do, you know, you know, and as well as your listeners know, that I take the approach we are spiritual beings having human experiences. And that our personality, we have a body, we have our feelings, we have a mind, but we are an eternal consciousness. And sometimes we will emphasize the mind more than the feelings. Sometimes we will emphasize the body more than the feelings. But other times, there's nothing to do but feel your feelings.
Yeah.
Honor them for whatever they are. It doesn't mean necessarily that we should act on the unfortunate ones. But by the same token, if we repress our feelings or squash them or judge all difficult feelings harshly, then we have no capacity to be, shall we say, in the heart of the pain and suffering so we can break the link between the two. We talked about this in the last thing, that really a lot of what's going on right now is forcing all of us to either go into our own sources of pain and suffering and break the link between the two, or be in situations where
we are there to be the light in the darkness, or the clarity, or the compassion, or the kindness in the midst of the harsh, absolute, difficult, clashing conditions mm-hmm. that are indicated by the Saturn-opposed Uranus cosmic centrifuge, which has been spinning us all for about 9 or 10 months away from certain things and people, toward certain things and people, purifying us through radical separations that are turning us around. And now we get on top of that, we have this giant cardinal T-square, which is just giving everybody a giant yin-yang, mm-hmm. forcing us to find a creative way of approach.
Yeah. It seems like it really is that the philosopher's stone, you know, we're really being rubbed to be more who we really are. There really is this grist, you know, that opposition is really...
Well, imagine that, you know, our entire existence is like taffy. And right now, we are being pulled to the extreme in opposite directions. Is it this? Is it that? Is it both? Is it neither? And then on top of it, you have the pressure from Pluto and Capricorn, and frankly, Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto showing the cosmic triad really represent those transpersonal forces that are beyond our control.
Mm-hmm.
So if you figure right now, involved in this T-square, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, and Pluto, you're speaking about inner as well as external forces that
yeah.
are way larger than us.
Yeah.
And people are having pressure put in multiple areas of their charts, especially those with planets in the first 5 degrees of Aries, Cancer, Libra, Capricorn, as well as in the middle part of Taurus, Leo, Scorpio, and Aquarius. And just because of the nature of generational astrology, that would basically imply that about 100 billion people are being affected. And I mean, I know that that's an exaggeration, but it's everybody on Earth is being affected either directly or indirectly in this time of mm-hmm. radical transition.
Mm-hmm. It is.
This is really a cosmic moment where we must see clearly what is in our best interests and be clear and open and above board in working toward them, not being distracted by dishonest, coercive, corrosive elements, not being steered into extreme or negative responses, not feeling like we want to give up because the pressure is too great. I mean, this is the moment of cosmic individuation, to use a Jungian term, and that the Saturn opposed Uranus is like a clash between the titans of authority internally as well mm. as externally. See, that's what a recent article that I did was, most people think that like the planets are out there and that they're working upon us. But really, all that they show is the gestalt of the moment in the larger atmosphere that are bringing forth internal responses, sometimes just on their own, sometimes in response to external events. Sometimes it could be just like you read a news article and it creates an internal response, and it's nothing personal, but it does awaken the individuality mm-hmm. to say this and not that. I really know that this is part of my purpose. I may not know what it is, but I have to go for it.
Mm-hmm.
I really have to go for it.
And what's yeah. happening with that? A lot of people are feeling that, I know myself, I'm starting a couple of new projects, a new direction, that I have to go for it. It's there's this pull, and you even said a key word there, Robert, is that you may not know where it's going or what it's about, but you're feeling you have to go to that. Can you speak
well,
to that a little
because,
bit?
It's because, let's face it, it's easy to do the right thing or seemingly the right thing when all is going well.
Yeah, or you know where it's going, right? Or you think you do.
Right. Or you're clear about it and say, okay, well, I have to nail this board in before I nail that board in, or I have to, you know, take care of this pipe before I take care of that pipe, or I have to write this paragraph before I write the next paragraph. You know, I have to chop the vegetables before I can cook them. You know, there are certain sequences in our linear reality that, okay, no problem. I see what to do. I know the order of things, and I can do it.
Mm-hmm.
It's harder to do that when things are obscured by the pressure to act or not act when you're not even clear about what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're not clear about what's going on, then how can you be clear about what to do? And I wrote specifically about this in my article on the Cardinal T-square showing turning points yesterday. And that's that everything that matters will demonstrate a pattern. And pattern is everything. And by knowing the patterns that are going on, internal or external or both, then we can figure out which we need to change, which are changing, whether we're doing it or not, whether we should move in this direction or move in a different direction or not move in any direction at all, which patterns we need to perfect because we're unclear but they seem to be good for us, versus the patterns which we know we need to abandon because they're just creating suffering or pressure or confusion. And that's pattern of internal response. That's pattern of external relationships, whether it be with ideas or people or actions. This is a moment of absolute and extraordinary clarity. The potential for absolutely extraordinary clarity is here right now, and we can use the emergent aspects to go for the new and solidify the new, because we have to do that. This autumn will be one last season of saying goodbye, of closing accounts, of doing closure rituals, however you want to do that, seeing the vast scheme of what is ending as prelude to what we've already glimpsed with this Jupiter, Uranus, and Aries. I mean, this is a cosmic moment because Jupiter only conjuncts Uranus like once every 50.
Mm-hmm. Robert, we just lost you. At least lost the sound. Let's see what happened. Oh, Robert. Well, so is he still on? I'm not.
Yes, I am on.
Okay, just the sound.
Hello?
I'm here. That was very interesting. We hear you, though, Michelle, but half the sound. Your sound disappeared.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry to hear that.
Okay. Just for a last little bit. That was interesting. Yeah.
Shall I hang up and you call me back?
No. You're here. You're back. But I don't know what happened.
Okay, good.
We were talking and then all of a
sudden. Okay, we're back.
You're back. You hear me, but not you.
Okay.
Okay.
So.
Robert, you have a phone. To turn the radio off in the back or the computer.
Yeah, there. Okay. Good. So we're back.
We're back. Okay.
And what I was talking about is, like, this is one of the weirdest emergent points in maybe our lives, because Jupiter and Uranus only get together about once every 13 or 14 years, showing a new expansion of the individuating, creative, call it divine force.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, relative to Pluto, this is a really important emergent point of the seeds that were set up when Jupiter conjuncted Pluto 3 years ago at the galactic center. Everybody got a new vision, a new quest, a new pulse, call it a new seed power, something really important began for everybody, at least everybody willing to grow, back about 3 years ago. This is the year of the emergence of that seed. Mm-hmm. And soon, as I said, Uranus represents force beyond your control. Well, forces beyond our control are very definitely setting up a cosmic clash, a cosmic turning point, a cosmic release, a cosmic putting on the brakes. And Jupiter is showing us what we can do, what we can't do, what we must do, and what we cannot take forward. Then we have Saturn entering Libra for the first time in about 28 years. And that's bringing forth an entirely new archetype of being in everyone. We mm-hmm. glimpsed it October, November, December, January, February, March, you know, of last year and early this year. Then we had to finish up our training in April, May, June, and most of July. Now is the moment of pure emergence, where the butterfly is impaled by the dart of light, fixing the image of perfection for a long cycle. Not only is Saturn doing that, but we are just right on the threshold of Mars mm-hmm. conjuncting Saturn at that critical first degree of Libra.
Mm-hmm.
So without a doubt, new emergent archetypes are already rolling forward, at least especially for those who have already, quote, escaped from a narrow destiny, unquote. We've been working on that. All last year, we were figuring out what higher standard we were willing to live. What did we believe in? What did we want to exemplify? What higher timeless spiritual value structure did mm-hmm. we admire that we were willing to live for the rest of our lives?
Mm.
And that was what we were all learning and shaping in 2009. Okay, we were all on a quest to figure out what our royal coat of arms is. And I used to tell people in my workshops and talks, I said, if you don't know what yours is, make one up. What matters to you? What are the symbols that matter to you? What are the images that matter to you? Because by our symbols and imagery, we understand ourselves not as sort of dense beings frozen in form, but rather we understand that we are a living symbol.
Mm.
And that you might call it our hero's journey, our life's journey, our story, our song to sing, our personal mythos. That was a word I got from Rudyard. It's our mythology, not as a fantasy, not as a myth being something unreal, but more like, what is the purpose of our life as an image of something better, something greater, some perfect form? And even a thief has as their image being a master thief. You know, mm-hmm. even a banker has the image of being a master banker. Now, I'm not saying that necessarily that's the higher way, but we all have our unique part to play in what I've termed the cosmic choir. And it takes a lot of rehearsal. It takes a lot of willingness. It takes a lot of practice. It takes a lot of learning. And then when it's time to perform our role, sometimes we sing unisons.
Mm.
Sometimes we sing harmonies. Sometimes we sing solos. And sometimes we don't sing at all.
Mm.
And that gets into the old injunction about to know, to will, to dare, and to be silent, that we have to learn all of these things in the process of becoming perfectly human, exemplifying some higher truth that is our spiritual path to mastery.
Mm. And
yeah,
every
and we're now at one of those points.
Definitely. You know, and I, again, that grist for the mill, or that philosopher's stone getting rub some more of the truth of us comes out. And you also bring up a good point, too, that it's knowing what note to sing or what is our note needed right now. You know, it's like you said, sometimes singing on your own, sometimes in unison, and sometimes not at all. Very different from the old paradigm, because this just requires people be a little more or a lot more flexible, mutable, not so stuck on their role or their part, right?
We live in an ever-changing reality.
Mm-hmm.
Time is the fourth dimension, and it is the medium by which we measure shifts in our direct experience. If we didn't have time, everything would collapse into now, and there would be no past, present, or future. There would just be existence, pure existence without linear perception. So time is the means by which we can say, aha, this was good then, but it's not good now, but this is good now, and who knows if it's going to be good in the future. That's also, by the way, the benefit of eclipses.
Mm.
Because even though there's a lot of doom and gloom about eclipses because of the stuff that the ancients wrote and human superstition being what it is, we sort of pass these tales forward. And like a game of telephone, they grow ever larger in the retelling, so that at some point, just because some royal family passed because they were directly impacted by an eclipse, somehow that meant all royal families will pass, or nations will fall, or empires will fall. And yet, really, there are real-world manifestations of why these things happen that the eclipses only symbolize.
Mm-hmm.
And like recently, we just had a couple of more eclipses. I think they're actually going to be pretty good.
The lunar and solar eclipse?
Yeah. We have two lunar eclipses every year, two solar eclipses. The lunar eclipses work out in terms of months of influence. Solar eclipses work out in terms of years of influence. They all shut something down, some form of either the radiant light or the receptive light. Solar eclipses shut down certain radiance in our life. But what it does is it allows us to see alternative light sources. You know, just because the sun or the moon are temporarily eclipsed doesn't mean that the sun is not shining. You know, I mean, that's the thing. It's shining somewhere.
Mm.
And there are huge areas that are not that impacted by eclipses. And the way I look at them in the chart is that wherever an eclipse falls, something gets shut down.
Mm-hmm.
It has to. We have to have the cosmic garbage collector, if you will, come along and sweep some stuff out of our trash cans so that we can move in a new direction. You know, we have to clean out our closets. We have to clean out our mind. We have to clean out our lives. We have to clean out our things from time to time so that then that void or that vacuum can be filled by something more natural to our evolved state.
Hmm.
If we didn't, and most people, let's face it, we all love the familiar and we want to clutch at what is familiar and we like the familiar stuff. We like the familiar patterns. But there are times when old patterns must be shut down. That's the eclipses. They shut it down whether we want to or not. The transiting oppositions show us a time when we can reverse polarity, reverse magnetism, and take what is an internal or external opposition or struggle or tug of war and turn it into a pure realization. And that's part of the esoteric meaning of balancing the pairs of opposites. Until we can do that as spiritual beings, then we're continually going to be pushed and pulled between this and that, yin and yang, right and wrong, dark and light. Yet we're never going to get beyond it unless we can face it and understand, for example, that all darkness, all shadow material, if you will, is created by light hitting a dense object. And once you realize that your internal personality shadows are nothing more than your light turning itself upon a dense area, then you can work with the material without feeling bad, without feeling guilty, without feeling ashamed, without getting paralyzed in these unproductive feelings. Because in the process of coming out of suffering, we cannot play to aversion. That's one of the sources of suffering, when we avoid something, when we don't look at something. And that's why if we learn to look at it, ultimately the tool to look at it and the result of looking at it are the same. And that's radical dispassion. And once you have radical dispassion, then you can have radical compassion. Because when you can stand apart from the blaming, the shaming, the guilt, the frustration, the whatever it is that's being depressed, then you can kind of just look at the parade as it goes by and realize you're always in the becoming. You're always in the making and the remaking. The times of the sextiles are very productive. The times of the quintiles are very specializing and gift-producing. The times of the trines are stabilizing and harmonizing in terms of understanding. Well, the opposition, I believe in astrology, the opposition is one of the best aspects that there is because it forces us to be aware. We can no longer not face the internal or external opponent or enemy or nemesis or whatever you want to call it. And after that, then every single time we can take an opposition, we can bring an awareness to the surface. And the squares help us put the brakes on or turn the corner. Great periods for changing pattern. That's what I said. This is it. This is the cosmic moment of knowing which patterns to change and which to pursue, which to perfect and which to abandon. We can consciously shape our future because by changing the personality patterns, we are free to fulfill our spiritual truth of being.
And Robert, what do you, if this lunar solar eclipse, lunar eclipse seems to be, I don't know why, extra special or cleansing, I guess, in a way?
Well, the lunar eclipse is going to jar some things loose in July, August, September.
Okay.
It's just jarring some things from our past loose. Elements of our past are going to fade away. Elements of our past will be challenged, and whatever is reckless will be wrecked. The solar eclipse was remarkable in that the eclipse itself, the sun and moon, had no significant forming aspects except a tradesal, 108-degree angle to Jupiter. And the tradesal is serendipity. It's like a gift that fits your circumstance or a circumstance that fits your gift. It's unique. It's interactive. In this case, it was an emergent tradesal. And so there should be something emerging over the next 3 years as a result of this eclipse. The shutdown of an old festivity and way of relating socially so that we can integrate or reintegrate the personality to play a more natural, enjoyable part on our own terms. It's very sort of protective, blessing, beneficial type of energy. So whatever this solar eclipse is shutting down, it's going to be fabulous. All that we have to do really is look at it as almost like a science experiment where we're doing a lot of exploring and testing and evaluating of our natural world in terms of the principles that underlie that world. And then we can demonstrate it basically as a search for a mystery that will lead to a revelation. The entire world will be escaping from a narrow view of things over the next 3+ years. But as significant as that might be, really, we have just initiated a new adventure in consciousness. And it just started on July 11th, and it's going to provide a lot of rich grist for the mill of soul between mid-August and late September. The good thing is that all we got to do is figure out how to link our energies with others, be a little bit joyous in rising to the occasion despite feeling some element of inadequacy somewhere. Don't worry about the inadequacy, because actually the thing that will help us in this adventure in consciousness is to consciously link our energies with other people.
And we really are getting called that, right, to move into that collaboration.
Yeah, and it's all an experiment in educating and being educated in right action.
Mm-hmm.
That's really what this is about. We're being educated in how to act correctly to either be educated in a skill or expertise or linking with others or practicing joy in rising to some occasion or really just sort of being a little bit more enthusiastic and embracing what needs to be embraced. And many will be going through what could be termed a liberating ordeal, but that's all the liberating ordeals are going to show us is our understanding of how we need to harmonize and simplify to make our lives more enjoyable.
Yeah.
Ultimately, the bottom line is going to be we all find our symbolic pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, though we may have to go through a trial of endurance to get there.
Speak of that, endurance, it is. It's this trial of endurance. You know, can you do it? I keep hearing just hand it to the higher self, hand it to the higher self, hand it to the higher
self.
Well,
it's almost like we're being tested on the deepest of levels.
Mm.
That as we move away from unfamiliar thoughts, unfamiliar feelings, unfamiliar behaviors, it's like through the movement away from the familiar and through the unfamiliar, we find the homogeneity in our personality, in our social web, in our philosophical effort in the world. We're going to see how homogenous we are or it is as we go through unfamiliar circumstances. And not that so this is really about shutting down old habits, old familiar patterns, comfortable patterns, things that used to make us feel secure. These have to be released because we have literally a practical adventure in consciousness that we're beginning that will complete our escape from a narrow destiny. And I keep, you know, going over this theme because the eclipses back in 2006, 2007, 2008, 2009 all began to shake us loose from narrow views, narrow relationships, narrow behaviors, whatever it was that we were trapped in that was unnecessarily narrow. And that's not my judgment. That's your judgment.
Yeah.
That's the judgment of each individual.
Yeah.
Whatever was narrow, we have escaped from it.
Mm-hmm.
And or at least we had the opportunities to, and this particular solar eclipse of July 11th is going to shake it loose.
Mm.
Of course, there are other things going as well. I mean, this is the moment of pressure because of the T-square. And this is like the swirl of the moment that is just putting everybody under pressure to turn a corner, put the brakes on something, come to a revelation, figure out what they care about, figure out what they don't care about, figure out what nurtures them or does not nurture them. Who is their spiritual family? Who is not their spiritual family? There's
mm-hmm.
a tremendous pressure right now on everyone to figure out, call it the sources of supply. And it can be not just material supply, but it's what's going to feed your heart, what's going to feed your enthusiasm, what's going to feed your joy, what do you care about, why do you care about it? And if you find yourself simply not caring anymore, don't beat yourself up for not caring anymore. That's exactly what's being shut down and let go of so that new material can come forth. So again, it's all like this science experiment, and we're exploring things that are quite natural, even if they're unfamiliar.
Mm-hmm.
And we are going through some liberating ordeals.
Mm-hmm.
And this is so that we can have a little bit more compassion, a little bit more kindness, a little bit more practical ability to move as compassionate beings in our world. Compassion does not mean being a doormat.
Mm-hmm.
And I have gone into this theme in other of our talks that, you know, the hardest lesson I ever learned, really, spiritually, was not to allow my kindness and compassion to be mistaken for weakness.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like it or not, I mean, being a conscious spiritual being in a world that's off its gyro, thanks to the grand irrationality, being a conscious spiritual being is not necessarily an easy task. The inmates are running the asylum. Nothing makes any sense anymore. The entire world economic system is on its ear, and it just the many are suffering to benefit a very few highly placed manipulators. And that's whether the banking or the food supply or the political decision-making process or whatever. There's this pyramid game going on globally.
Well, that's a good way to put it, Robert. It is a pyramid
game. Yeah, and you can't fight the power as an individual because individuals have no ability to fight the system. But what an individual can do is turn away from wasting time, energy, money in an exploitive system and really go inward and raise their being to the highest level of awareness they can and work on an individual local level, weaving a web of awareness with others who share that aspiration. That's the true sangha, the true community, which is the refuge from the crazy making of ego minds that are running rampant. And all of your listeners, frankly, are in a sangha. It's the sangha called Awakenings. You know, they are part of call it a larger spiritual field of energy. And so it's really important right now to be very clear about what kind of atmospheres we're in. And if we're in toxic atmospheres, either we remove ourselves from those atmospheres or we practice our spiritual tools to antidote that toxicity. And we can do that. But again, that's where we have to be aware that we are magnetic fields. And when we're feeling tired or beat up or hassled or we aren't in our equilibrium, it may be useful to back off from trying to deal with toxic elements.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, sometimes the best antidote to dealing with an irritable person is much distance between the two of you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if somebody really wants to drain your energy and do a toxic dance, sometimes just don't look at them. Back off. You know, go after ice cream or something.
and you bring up something. We've got a couple questions on it in the chat comments, and then I've got a couple of email questions on the same similar vein or topic. One is, well, twofold. Let's take number one, people feeling more irritable was one, and then another one was people feeling like they really need to go within or they've been hibernating or one saying hermiting a lot, I've been the hermit. Is that, you know, part of this energy, a result or now picturing this energy?
Yeah. See, the Jupiter-Uranus conjunction is pumping an agitation of an entrance into a new reality. Then we've got Saturn opposing Jupiter and Uranus, putting a damper on things, making it a somewhat frustrating time, feeling like maybe the price of success is more than it's worth, defeatism is in the air, the clash of the need for freedom with the need for structure. That's the Saturn opposed Uranus. Yes, that would definitely pump the irritability quotient through the roof. And when you couple it with the Uranus square Pluto, the whole world is in an agitated state.
Yeah.
And the thing is that it's not a surprise that there's irritability and agitation and impatience and frustration in the air. That's not the problem.
Hmm.
The issue is how to deal with it.
Yeah, that's it. That's right.
How
what
to
you do
deal
with that
it.
What do you do with that energy? Really,
and,
really good point.
Right, and it can't be done in externals, except that that is an effect of the internal movement of pattern, movement of view, movement of understanding. Because the fact that there is irritation in the air, we can't do much about that, but we can avoid being moved into unproductive behaviors, unproductive mindsets, unproductive emotional states. Again, it's no big deal to be good when we're in heaven. It's a
yeah.
little bit harder to do it when we're under pressure. You know, dealing with a personality, dealing with other egos in an imperfect world, in a very difficult time in an imperfect world. That's why I always remind people that it doesn't really matter what is. And here, I'm going to give all of your listeners the punchline to 99% of therapy. I paid a lot of money to get the punchline.
Okay.
And the punchline is, what are you going to do about it?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter that something is bad. Either you can do something about it or you cannot, in which case then we don't just get to sit around and further a pattern of discontent. Then, as our old friend the I Ching says, we don't get to just criticize what's wrong. Instead, if we can't do anything about it, it's better to go inward and turn our view and our understanding to the highest level so that we can realize something of our highest self.
Mm.
Preparing for the next time that we're going to take it back out into the world.
Mm.
You know, I think that there really is wisdom in understanding what we can change and what we cannot change, and finding the wisdom to know the difference. That in that little phrase, there is great depth, great understanding, because it is not given to us to always win, to always succeed. Pardon the split mm-hmm. infinitives. Sometimes we do grow more through defeat than victory
mm-hmm.
because it challenges our creative imagination. It challenges us to realize, man, we're spinning our wheels. We can't do anything about that person or situation. Time to go do something else. Go read a book. Go get some ice cream. Go, you know, go out for pizza. Go,
mm-hmm.
you know, go play tennis. You know, do whatever floats your boat that doesn't keep you stuck.
Yeah.
In an unproductive path.
Well, I think one thing, you know, somehow came about in the human potential movement that veered more into that quasi kind of new age metaphysical, and I say quasi because it's to me not the true movement, came this notion that we could fix everything. Or if something in our life, or we walk down the street and somebody is, you know, angry, then we must be angry, or we have to talk to them, or sometimes we have to heal them, or we have to come up, you know, kind of this.
Right, right. No, the right. Corollary, of course, is that, well, gee, if you make your own reality, then you can make a new reality, when in fact, you only make your view and responses to the reality in which you find yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not given to us to succeed and to fix and to... It's impossible, just like happiness. Happiness is of the mind.
Mm-hmm.
Because the mind fluctuates, our happiness is going to fluctuate. Now, joy and bliss are of the soul and spirit, so we can be joyous as we
soul
learn to
qualities.
Reference our soul.
Yeah.
You know, and we touch bliss as we know we are spirits in the material world. And then we watch the fluxes and flows of our happiness and our mind and our affairs. And you know, again, sometimes the best thing we can do when we're confronted with a really impossible situation, a difficult, a painful situation, a person who is not just irritable but toxic, sometimes we didn't create that, if you know what I mean.
That's right.
They're stuck in their own hell. And to the degree that we are allowed by karma to be there and be of whatever assistance we can be, well, that's a good thing. But sometimes we have to remember, if it's not our hell, sometimes we need to come up for a breath of fresh air.
Yeah.
Because if we get lost in somebody else's hell, including the hell of the oil companies and the bankers and the entire insane system, if we get lost in that hell, I learned this as a political blogger, you can spend a lot of years spinning your wheels, and maybe you're right, and maybe you are exposing the bad guys, and you're furthering the good stuff, but you're still in somebody else's hell.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I had to learn to back off from the entire political arena, because in the blogosphere, the political blogosphere is very ugly. It's very nasty. Anybody can weigh in with a nasty opinion. They can say, do it anonymously. They'll say things they would never say to your face on the street, but they feel like it's okay to do it in the blogosphere. And I just got tired of the constant struggle of trying to communicate rational, sane possibilities in a hell that is neither rational nor sane, nor do many of them want to consider the possibilities.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they like to stay stuck in that horizontal reality.
And yeah,
they never go to the vertical reality.
Never. No, I know. It's I did a blog post on the BP. I'm like, okay, we can be angry, upset. Okay, we all know that it's, you know, the negatives. Now let's focus on, what do you want to do with it? What do you want to do? What do you want to heal? Where do you want to go? You know, but I agree with you in the particularly in the political blogosphere, it's that back and forth of just the anger, back and forth, and the name calling, but
yeah,
not
right, wrong, good,
right,
bad. You know the whole thing.
Yeah, and not really of the solutions. You know, which reminds me kind of you know, the moving into that space. At some point, you see where, you know, your greatest service, you know, where is, like you said, your sangha or your satsang, where is the greatest service that people are really wanting to hear and going to take root with what you say or anchor it and go out and do something with it? You know, where can you best be of service and best be served?
That's why you do a real dispassionate, detached evaluation of your personality patterns to see which ones are not fulfilling you, may be the most important thing any truth-seeking soul can do, because that can help us stand aside from our inertias, from our desires, from our assumptions, from all of our shoulds, woulds, coulds, you know, the subjunctive reality that really isn't real. It's potential, but it's not real. And I mean, I wouldn't say this, except I've had to do it so many times in my own life, that no matter what I thought I was doing that was good, true, and beautiful, sometimes what's done is done.
Mm-hmm.
I can't do that anymore. Yeah. Maybe I can do it in the future, but it's not effective now.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a routine. I'm going through the motions. I'm phoning in my life. And that's when I do believe in the wisdom of Jefferson, when he said everybody needs a revolution every 20 years. Well, maybe we need to revolutionize our view of who we are and what we're here to do and what we think we know, and maybe how that's closing off perfectly good avenues of growth. Because ultimately, we are part of the natural world, and from what I've observed in the natural world, you grow or you die.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, hey, you know what? Well, we understand that about trees. If a tree isn't growing, it's dying. If a tomato plant isn't growing, it's dying. Well, if we're not growing, then we're dying.
Mm.
And it's not just us. It's not like we are to blame or at fault or any other nonsense. Life moves on. We don't live in the same world that we did in 1980.
Mm,
you know, though
right.
We are dealing with the results of that Reagan, Bush one thought form of selfishness and greed and manipulation, and a whole generation came up within that larger atmosphere, and even those of us that didn't buy into it, we're still dealing with others who did buy into it, whether consciously or unconsciously. And that's why, I mean, one of the great ecologists of our world, his name isn't even well known, He's a very dear friend of mine. He got a degree in ecology in 1959. And after trying to help our government and other governments deal with the problems connected with a city-based growth consciousness, he realized he couldn't do anything to influence that dialogue. So he raised his own work to a spiritual level, and he now does these things called sacred passages for people. And they go all over the world to these various wilderness areas where they can go into solitude and merge with deep nature and merge their inner nature with the heart and soul of nature herself, our Mother Earth, and come to a real deep connectedness with all that is. And every single time I've ever done it, I've come out transformed. Every single time anybody else has ever done it that I've known, they've come out transformed. And see, a city-based consciousness is distractive. That's why we're being grown. I've talked about this in other times with you, that the whole world is being broken into market segments.
Yeah.
Where people can be marketed whatever it is that distracts
tribes.
Them.
Yeah.
Yeah, they whatever distracts you, whatever seems to be new, better, different, that takes you into that outer distractibility and away from that deep inner communion, the deep inner knowing, that's, to me, the problem.
Yeah.
Because even the distractible mind that says, oh, I'm not doing it good enough, oh, I know I ought to be doing this practice, but I just don't have time. And then all of the guilt and the avoidance and the bad feelings that come up, all of that is a complete distraction.
Yeah.
Even the mind judging whether or not you're meditating good enough
is a distraction, yeah.
Yeah. And I really know that this is the time when we can easily change pattern, change focus, change view, change action, change what we need to change by moving into really whatever is an archetype for us that would float our boat, that takes us away from the agitation, the annoyance, the irritation, the depression, the sadness. And I'm not saying we shouldn't grieve what needs grieving.
Right.
But there's also a time, because once you grieve deeply, then you really can cleanly let go, and you don't wind up being depressed because you didn't take the time to grieve when you should. The problem, if you want it, it comes back until you do it.
Yeah. And I just put in the chat, be proactive but also conscious in your process. I'm finding that, you know, like you're talking about the grieving or going within or the irritation, I'm finding if people are bringing consciousness to, like you're saying, Robert, not distraction, not judging or getting caught up in something, but going, wow, I'm really feeling this, you know, what's going on here, or, you know, journaling or, you know, in a safe environment, talking about it, finding out what's going on. I mean, I noticed things dissolving right away. Well, Pluto is sitting nicely on my Saturn right now. And I went with it. I started feeling different things. I said, oh, things are changing. Structure's changing. How can I...
Purifying the control mechanism.
Yeah, and I'm like, how can I help this? How can I move with this instead of resisting it? And it's just... open things up. But at first, it is a little bit like shifting sand on you. You're like going, okay, the ground, my structures were very stable. Now they're shifting. You know,
it helps to look at it that we have physical, emotional, and mental containers.
Yeah.
And sometimes we outgrow the container. Sometimes we can reshape the container.
Yeah.
And the trick is not to clutch.
That's
at the moment of movement.
The no clutching. Yeah, the no clutching.
Okay. And this is, you know, there's times to change pattern, change partner, change direction, change rhythm. And we can't afford to freak out at the changes, because those are the moments. Look, you know as well as I do that spiritual humanity aspires to be courageous and compassionate, filled with goodwill, empathy, forgiveness, and faith. Well, we have to start at home.
Yeah.
We need to use them with ourselves. We need to be courageous in looking at ourselves and changing what needs changing and acknowledging and honoring what needs honoring. We need to have compassion toward ourselves because we're not perfect beings. I mean, to become perfect in this world, it means to be perfectly human. That means there's a whole lot of mistakes that are going to be made along the way. Oh, well, no one's keeping count. What only matters is that we lift our eternal, call it golden thread, out of the muck and into the pure light of divine mind, divine feeling, divine action. If we're going to have goodwill toward others, we better have goodwill toward ourselves.
Absolutely.
If we're going to practice our faith, then we better have faith that whether we know what we're doing or not, we are, if we're doing our best, then we have nothing to regret.
Mm.
We have nothing to regret. And we just keep persevering. Eventually, we do find our way to some measure of truth and awareness and detachment and dispassion and divine discrimination. I have often written, though, that I believe that there is no tool that we have that is better than practicing how to generate positivity.
Mm.
And that's not being a Pollyanna. You know, that's not, you know, looking at cow flop and calling it a rose.
Right.
That's being willing to say, okay, regardless of what's going on, I am going to redirect my consciousness right here, right now, to the will to good.
Yeah. But I think the thing is you have to have those spiritual tools that we touched on a little bit, whether it's astrology, what you have to have your practice or your spiritual tools, something to, you know, little default button or default
right.
evaluate button, you know, and
we talked about that in our last time. I believe that there are three sanctuaries. You know, the Buddha, the Dharma, the Sangha, the wisdom, the way, and the community. Those are the things we can trust because our heart knows these things. It's beyond the mind and its opinion.
Mm-hmm.
We know the wisdom that feeds our heart and soul. We know by walking the way appropriate to us that we are doing our Dharma. We are
mm-hmm.
living our truth of being. And by our community, you know, it's not just the groups we join, and we've talked about this. Your real spiritual community will never make you feel cheap, dirty, slimy.
Mm-hmm.
You're never going to feel undermined. You're never going to feel put down, cut down. They're not going to go behind your back and whisper gossip and rumors, that you know, all the nonsense of the world that even your family might do. Your true spiritual family are always there to love you, to care for you, and if necessary, to bust you.
Yeah, yep.
Yeah, but it's always going to be done in terms of the wisdom and the way that you both share.
Right.
See, that those three are not disconnected from each other. If you're really walking your walk and you are living and learning in terms of your wisdom, you're going to pick up brothers and sisters along the way. You will find your spiritual connection if you really don't buy into the illusion. And everybody that I've seen in this world is struggling with that, not giving the illusion more power than it already has.
Yeah, you got to step away from the illusion.
Yeah, including the illusion of suffering, the illusion
yeah.
that you have to do something or you're a bad person, that you can't do this or you're undermining yourself. I mean, hey, what can I say? Even Christ drank wine.
Yeah.
You know, so you can't
lighten
say
up.
Drinking. Yeah, drinking is not bad. Being a drunk is bad.
Exactly.
You know, that's what I mean. You know, some of the great teachers in history have really demonstrated in their lives that they are fully human, but
yeah.
that they are God beings.
Yeah. Well, we are here to enjoy the fruits of, you know, the earth plane, I think. Robert, we got some questions. Let's see. We've got online.
Very cool.
Hello, 401-632. You're on Awakenings. Do you have a question
Sorry,
or
I
a comment?
No, actually, I didn't. So I was trying to lower
You're just
my
listening.
Hand.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm just
you
listening.
Press.
Thanks, Michelle.
Okay, that's full. You're welcome. Bye. Okay. Yeah. Okay, here another one. So if you've pressed one, it's showing on the switchboard. So I do see we have a lot of callers just listening, which is fine. But, okay, 410-305, you're on Awakenings. Did you have a question or a comment? Hello? 410-305?
Well, I hear a kid in the background.
I do,
so
too.
They're obviously split. Wonderful people.
Yes, exactly. Welcome to Awakenings. Okay, and then we've got a Skype caller. And I don't know if you have a question or a comment. It's just showing on the key or on the switchboard 11111. So
is that me?
Skype call. Yes, this is you. Hi.
Hey, I didn't know if you do readings or astrology or something.
Yeah, you can call for an or I'll put in the chat room. It's at AquariusPapers.com if you want a reading with Robert. But
yeah. Yeah, they just go to the sidebar that says to schedule a personal appointment, and you'll email me, and we'll set the thing into motion.
How much is it for the visit?
Probably the
go
to the site, and it's all right there on the link called to schedule a personal appointment.
Yeah, Aquarius paper.
There's various ways I structure my sessions, and so you can find out all about it on my site. You know, this. If you have a question about something large or you know, local, by all means, let it rip. Otherwise, just get a hold of me on the site.
How's that? Okay. You still there?
I think he's moved on.
No, he's still online, but I guess he's okay. Maybe
oh, okay.
He's just yeah, better, you know, for in-depth, you want to have a nice, in-depth, yummy reading, best to go to AquariusPapers.com. But if you have a question or a comment that's relevant to you, but also
at this point, I also want to make it clear that there's no charge to go to Aquarius Papers and read the, like, 1,200 articles that are there, leaving comments. I mean, all that's for free. That's for the world. 12,000 people show up every week, 600,000 in a year. There's thousands and thousands of pages, thousands and thousands of people commenting. So all of that is a gift to the world. If you want a personal session, that's another thing, and that can be arranged via the site. But it's not like the site. You don't have to pay anything to read what I write on the site.
Yeah, there's a lot of good information.
I just want to make that clear.
That's a good point. A lot of good information, a lot of good focus and tools. But then if you want personal to you, yeah, there's information.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's there's a lot going on, and again, the site was established so I could write about things that are affecting everyone that I really can't go into in the personal sessions because there's just too much going on in a person's life to be able to bring in both the micro and the macro. So I use the sessions about how this stuff affects you personally. Whereas on the site, I try to talk about what's going on and what are some of the general themes and that we can use to get through these times.
Mm-hmm.
So,
okay.
You know, again, I talk about a lot of more in-depth about what some of you and I have talked about just in yesterday's article, the Cardinal T-square showing turning points, and just in terms of the Jupiter retrograde square Pluto, Saturn post Uranus that I did on July 23rd, the full moon, the article of July 25th. I mean, all of that goes more into how these things are affecting us.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, an individual has their own individual responses and challenges. But again, some of it I try to do as much as I can. And from the thousands of comments I've had, I tend to pretty much hit accurately what's going on, what are the issues involved, and how we can use these energies to best affect.
Mm.
And then, you know, the individual is the individual, and I try to do the best I can, and got clients all over the world. By the way, people do check in from over 130 countries on AquariusPapers.com. Yeah, it's a great global community of truth-seeking souls, good people. Just, you know, show up with an open mind, an open heart, and a degree of self-respect, and you'll get everything you could possibly want and more. It's literally the only site like it in the world. And that's the only plug I'm going to do for myself. So let's get to some other questions.
Yeah, I've got another caller here. 512-705, you're on Awakenings. Do you have a question or a comment?
Hi, can y'all hear me?
Yeah.
Hello.
Welcome.
Hi.
Yes. Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Welcome to the program.
Hi. This is Candace in Texas. I'm a client of Robert's.
Oh,
and,
wonderful.
I haven't talked
Candace
to you.
Hi, Candace in Texas.
Hi. I know it's. I haven't talked to you in a year. I've been trying to figure a lot of it. You know, watching it, figuring it out myself. But I'm one of those that it started out in 2007 after a Uranus square my Saturn moon and moon conjunction. So all of this is happening. I just wanted to say hi. It's everything you said. It's like I've known this is the completion. I follow this, you know, your website. Aquarius Papers is wonderful, everybody. It really is. I haven't posted,
well,
but the last eclipse, the last eclipses, I wanted to say my Venus is in 5 Cancer. So it's right opposed Pluto, right in all of that. So all of this is just coming down, and I'm believing after everything I've been through, this is just going to be like the cork on my champagne bottle.
Oh, I like that.
I'm one of those that's believing very optimistically.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, once we realize we don't have to clutch at what's ending, and we can bless it, then we can open to whatever is the magic of the now that's bringing us something different and usually more fulfilling.
Oh, yeah.
And I think
my life, I'm sorry. Yeah, my life is nothing like I knew it 3 years ago. Nothing. The people,
well,
family.
And when I tell people the changes that are coming, sometimes they go, Oh no, I don't want to lose this, I don't want to lose that.
Yeah,
but then 1,000 days down the road, they realize that it was the best thing that could have happened.
Oh, I know.
Because it opens.
Well, it does, and that's just what I wanted to share. Anyone that's just starting that journey out now, you know, just listen inside, listen what Spirit's telling you, where you're being led, and it will come out. I'm in a better place than I was when I started out 3 years ago, and the spiritual growth has been tremendous. And I want to thank you, Robert, because you have been such a blessing in my life. And I've put off doing a reading. I have that Sun Uranus conjunction and a Mercury Pluto conjunction in Virgo. So, well, the Sun and Uranus is in Leo. But I've been trying to figure this out myself following you online, you know, and learning these past 3 years. So thank you. I just wanted to say thanks. And thanks for being on. It's wonderful to hear your voice after all the reading on. I just had to call and say hi.
Hello, I'm back. Sorry about that. We've got all in the...
Hello.
Robert?
Yeah.
The whole internet is down on our blocks.
Oh, great.
A whole crash. So I couldn't get back into either way. But I see that you thank everybody for being here, so that's great.
Yeah, well, I realized I had to register really fast and confirm. So I'm sitting here just trying to, just in case they didn't know what was going on.
Yeah, because I couldn't... say what was happening because I couldn't actually get on the internet on any of my computers because the whole area, and then I went out to my neighbor and said the whole block is down.
Yeah. Well, look, yeah, it'll be good. It'll be grist for the next one.
Exactly.
You know, so but I figured it was okay for me to jump in there for whoever was left in the chat room.
Oh, perfect, perfect. Thanks for being on the program. We'll have to do it again, and I don't know... You know, hopefully this doesn't happen again, but you gave a lot of...
It ended on a really kind of interesting note because the woman hung up, and that was it.
Oh, perfect, perfect, perfect.
Yes, because I was listening to it, and the woman's just thanking me and thanking you and telling everybody what a great show it was and, you know, the whole thing, and she hung up. And then it went dead.
And I guess that was, I guess we were done. I guess cosmically we were done for this time. Anyway, those also listening via phone or in the archives, you can reach Robert Wilkinson at AquariusPapers.com. Some wonderful information and insight there. And if you're called to, also get a reading update for the pattern that you're going through releasing. And thank you all wonderful listener participants in the Sacred Space of Empowerment, also known as the chat room. Thanks for being here as always, and thanks for just continuing to shine your light. And Robert, of course, thank you so much for being on the program as well. Always, always.
Obviously, and, very welcome.
Yeah.
We'll do it again.
We'll do it again. Okay.
And next time, hopefully, there won't be a power failure.
Oh, I know. The whole, I'm like, what is going on? And then, yeah, a whole power fail. Yeah, that's, we're going to end with a little liquid mind.
Yeah. Sounds like